Welcome to the first ever episode of the West Ham Way USA podcast. Same two hosts, whole different show. I'm your co-host, Tony, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And on the other side, we have Brawley in St. Louis. How's it going, my friend?
I'm doing very, very, very well, especially after beating our London rivals, Manchester United. Luckily, they don't live too far from the stadium, so they won't have a tough time getting home after that tough defeat.
Absolutely not. I probably drove longer this week. I had a three-hour drive up to New York yesterday and 3 hours back today after watching the game with the New York Hammers. So
how'd that go?
It was absolutely fantastic. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But okay. What I do want to start off with saying that we have a whole new show, and this is our first ever episode and an exciting opportunity for us, partnering with the West Ham Way UK and making our own USA show.
Yeah, and it's just, like I said on the last episode, very flattering that Dave and X wanted us to come on board with them and be a part of the West Ham Way brand. So we extend our heartfelt gratitude to Dave and X for choosing us to be their American podcast, and I'm just excited to get going.
So I guess the first question is, what is going to change for us? A few things that you might hear is a difference in our mic quality, or at least I sure hope so. I'm really excited. I have a new mic kit and soundboard here. Brawley got a new mic as well. We have a new logo, super amazing logo that Brawley's friend made. We have a new Twitter. However, at the same time, it's the same accounts. So you don't need to go follow us on a new Twitter account. You don't need to go find a new RSS feed. It's the same SoundCloud. It's the same Spotify, same iTunes. So you'll be able to go back and listen to Rebecca Lowe, and you'll be able to go back and listen to Bobby Madley, Jonathan Clegg, Arlo White, all those good people.
And if you guys do like the new logo, by the way, the new logo is badass. It looks incredible. Shout out to my friend Matt Haynes, who designed it for me. He works for a t-shirt company called Big Frog T-Shirts here in Edwardsville, Illinois. And if you guys need any logos designed, if you're curious about giving him some work, for a small fee, he'll do a logo for you. So if you want me to put you in touch with Matt Haynes of Big Frog T-Shirts, I will be more than happy to do so. He does some amazing work. He makes my t-shirts. He's designed a bunch of logos for us. So I just wanted to make sure I shouted him out because he does some amazing work. And like I said, if you want him to design a logo for you, get in touch with me, Brawley, and I will put you in touch with Matt. So just wanted to make sure I threw that out there.
Absolutely. And I want everybody who listens to the podcast to understand how important this is for us that I finally have a proper microphone. Brawley has, we've been doing this for 3 seasons now. Our first season was about a half a season because I think our first episode was Southampton craziness game.
Probably. That yep. Sounds about right.
So, no, well, the craziness game was Burnley, but I believe our first game was Southampton at the London Stadium that time. So we did a half a season there. We had a whole second season, and now we were in our third season as the American West Ham podcast. And I always use iPhone earphones and then a video gaming mic. So now we have a crisp, clear new mic, and I'm absolutely excited. Brawley has a new mic as well, and we have a lot to talk about today.
We do. So do you want to get right into the game first and foremost?
Yeah, so let's start off like we normally do, because I want all of our listeners to understand as well, although the logo and name changes, I guess the positive changes, we might have a little bit more access, some inside information, hopefully, and provide a little bit more detail in some stories that you might not get elsewhere. But at the same time, you're going to have still the fun American vibe to this, and it's going to be two American guys just talking about their experiences. However, today, we do switch it up. So, Brawley, where did you watch?
I watched at home. I contemplated, so I'm gonna put a timeline together for you guys. I work at 11 a.m. Eastern or Central on Sundays. The kickoff here was at 8 a.m. Central, so if I had a 30-minute drive down to the pub in St. Louis, I would have had just enough time to make it to work. But my decision was I would stay home and not rush myself and also not be tempted to drink before going into work, because after that win, I definitely would have been drinking. And so I probably made the right decision, honestly, but I would have loved to have seen all the sour Manchester United fans' faces at the pub. But yes, I watched at home and I went straight to work after. So I got to watch the game in its entirety and I just went to work straight after. What did you end up doing? I know you said you went to New York City, right? Did you watch at Smithfield's?
I did. So I did go to Smithfield, and for those who don't know how far that was about a 3-hour drive to Brooklyn to meet up with our buddy Dan, friend of the pod, who you'll hear a little bit of Danalytics later. However, then we took the train into Manhattan and went to Smithfield Hall, which is the New York West Ham bar. Now, the interesting thing about that bar is it is also the Manchester United bar in New York City. So I was picked this game out specifically to go because I figured that the atmosphere was going to be an absolute war zone, and it was. It was great. There was probably at least, 50 to 75 West Ham and about 50 to 75 Manchester United in the bar.
Wow.
And yeah, it was a great time. It was absolute chaos in there.
Was there any banter flying back and forth between the two groups of fans? Was there any shit talking? What was kind of the mood between the two sets of fans?
So this was the best atmosphere that I've had at Smithfield Hall for a game. I've been up there now. Obviously, respect to all of them who go week in and week out. Harrisburg's a 3-hour drive. Some days, if it's an early kickoff and people don't want to go out, there's people sitting eating breakfast. However, today, for the Manchester United game, which was 9 o'clock a.m. on a Sunday morning, they had people 3 deep from the bar. And I'm talking about rows of people 3 deep and then tables of people sitting around as well. And that was just the West Ham section. So it was packed. There was banter. People were singing. People were cheering. It was an absolute blast. I was so incredibly thankful that I decided to come up that weekend and hang out with the NYC Hammers.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm jealous. I'm envious that you got to do that and while I was just watching at home with the dogs. So that sounds awesome.
Well, and especially for me, who doesn't have anybody else in Harrisburg, or if you do find this podcast and you're in Harrisburg, please shoot me a text message. There's not even really any soccer bars. There's only one bar in Harrisburg called Mr. G's, and it's a Spurs bar. I saw their Twitter. Yeah, and they get a good 15 to 20 people, so respect for Harrisburg, which is a fairly small town. But at the same time, there isn't any other West Ham. So the only option for me is to sit and watch on my TV.
Right. So let's get into the game now. What did you think about the lineup? I know there were two changes. Were there any surprises in there for you?
Well, I was certainly surprised when I found out the news about Lanzini. That came out of nowhere, didn't it?
I on Fantasy, that said he had picked up a knock, and it said there was like a 50% chance of him playing. So I knew that something was going on there, but I wasn't sure what.
No, well, okay, well then I guess the difference for me is I haven't heard anything all week about it. So that was a shock to me, but then the other change was obviously Masuaku was out for that undeserved red card, or second yellow, I guess you should say, last week. So that means Cresswell had to come in and take his place. It was either going to be Cresswell, Ben Johnson, or Zaba playing on the left side. Would you have picked Cresswell?
Yeah, I said on the show I would. I would definitely have picked Cresswell. I wasn't ready to give Ben Johnson the keys to the car, as I always like to say. So Cresswell all day long.
Yeah, so those were the two changes. And then, again, Fornals came in for Lanzini. Do you think Fornals was ready to start? Before ignoring what you just saw today, were you ready to see Fornals get a chance to start?
100%. Yeah, it was the right move. I think that was his first start in the Premier League, wasn't it?
Yes.
So I was ready to see him. I think in the previous games, he looked a little timid. I wish he just would have shot at the end of that Villa game and tested the keeper. But, yeah, I was definitely ready to see him. And I think Pellegrini made the right decision to start him over someone like Wilshere or Snodgrass or someone like that.
Although this is our first podcast, I said on our last ever podcast that I wanted to go into this game and I expected a result. I would have not said that against normal Manchester United teams, but this Manchester United team has been so poor on the road. They were found out today that they were missing Pogba, Martial, and Shaw.
Yep.
I expected a result today. I wouldn't say a win as a result. I was hoping for a draw or better.
Yeah, you predicted a draw.
But this team they keep saying in every interview, every Twitter thing I see, Pellegrini says this, Antonio says that, the clubs say this, that they want to be a top team this season. This is the year that they say that they're going to be a top team. And they finally starting to get results. Last week I was disappointed with the 0-0 draw, although obviously we were down a man. But if you're going to be a top team, you need to get results. So let's talk about, real quick, going back, Watford. They got a result after going down 1-0. Now we have four clean sheets in a row.
We didn't go down 1-0 in that game. We went 1-0 up. They leveled it at 1-1.
Yeah.
Just to be factually correct. It's obviously okay, though. Keep going.
Point of the story is when they equalized, did you think it was like, oh, here we go, and then the Will Hughes big miss? But that this West Ham team came back and got a result after they equalized. Look at the Norwich game, another clean sheet. Newport,
yeah.
I mean, we lost to a lower division side last year. They got a clean sheet there. Villa game went down to 10 men. Probably would have folded in previous years. Got a result there. So they're finally getting results that you expect. And I was hoping to have the same this week, and we did.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to keep three consecutive clean sheets in this league would have been unheard of in the last few seasons. I certainly didn't expect us to keep three clean sheets and four in all competitions. So, yeah, if you want to be in that top six conversation, at least – you're going to have to start putting some wins together. And this is one of those games where, you know, you just got to do it. This is the worst Manchester United team I think I've ever seen. I don't think that's a stretch to say. They were missing so many guys, too. Like, Pogba was the number one guy I was worried about. Rashford looked frustrated all game long. He looked mm-hmm. he looked just uninterested. Or not uninterested. I don't think that's the right word. I think he looked just very, very frustrated with the level of support he was getting.
Lack of service.
Yeah, all of the above. And it's just nice to see us finally take it to a team like that and just consecutively put in a good shift after a good shift after a good shift. Usually, you know, as West Ham fans, we're used to this roller coaster and we're going on up and down, up and down. And right now we've just been this steady eddy slowly on the rise. And I think as of right now, I haven't looked at the table, but are we in fifth behind Arsenal now?
If you look in the table, we're fifth behind Arsenal. We're tied on third on points, but Leicester have positive three goal differential. We have positive one.
Yeah, so Leicester and us, as of right now, those are going to be your two teams outside the normal top six that have a chance to push on, which is what I said at the beginning of the season. So that's looking good. Everton looks shaky. They lost 2-0 to Sheffield United. So I really like where we're at right now. And if we keep this up, we got a real shot at trying to get into Europe next season. I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I don't want to get too excited, but I really, really, really am happy with the way things are going right now, and I just hope that we can keep this trending up into the rest of the season. We got some favorable fixtures coming up after as well.
I mean, next week's Premier League fixture is going to be massive. I mean, Bournemouth is right under us. They have 10 points.
Yeah.
They're sitting six. They're above Spurs and Manchester United as well, and Chelsea. So yep. Those, and then obviously Everton's down in 14th. But those are all the teams that I somewhat expected to be higher than us. And I mean, sure, it's only six games in, but here we are. I'd rather be at fifth with 11 points, six games in, and got rid of the Man City game early than be sitting 14th like Everton.
Yeah, exactly. So just keep it going. We got to move on after this game. I mean, we can get into the game a little bit now, too, so we don't have to just completely skim over it. But I'm just buzzing. I'm so excited right now.
So the first thing I want to talk about the game is I'm sitting there at Smithfield, and Dan sitting at the table right next to me at the bar top. And I say to him, this maybe 30 minutes in, that we look like we are absolutely dominating. They had chances. We had chances. Maybe I shouldn't say dominating, but I didn't feel like we were being ran off the field. Like, I felt like we had chances, and I felt like we weren't sitting back. We kept moving forward and actually trying to do something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. And it's just nice that we're able to just take it to a team. And I know I say this every episode, but for us to be able to just take it and take it and take it and just go at them rather than sit back. And I know Manchester United didn't have a lot of attacking options, but for us, I just think it's huge for us that we're not scared of a team like Manchester United, and we're able to just go and attack them and just beat the shit out of them, honestly.
I do want to add one thing, though. Although we said that we're not scared of Manchester United, especially this Manchester United team, Ollie at the wheel, wrecking the bus. Like, I mean, they're a mess. But at the same time, I do want to point out that it is still Manchester United. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it's a poor Villa side or Norwich or Watford. It's still a class club that even their B team should still be probably winning games. So I don't want to take away with how poor this Man United side, how great a performance we played today, especially in that first half.
Yeah, and it seems like that's all the media wanted to do was talk about how bad Manchester United were, and no one wanted to talk about how good we were today. And I think that's harsh on our guys, and it's unfair, because I thought we were brilliant from minute one. We didn't necessarily create a whole lot, but we were efficient in our chances, and Yarmolenko's goal was a brilliant goal, a really, really well team-worked goal, starting from Noble into Anderson with a little flick in, and then just a great finish from Yarmolenko. I'm just buzzing, just absolutely buzzing with the way we're playing right now and where we are on the table.
One thing I noticed about myself with Yarmolenko is I find often that I target my frustration toward him, because when you can see other players' success more than Yarmolenko's success. For example, when Anderson is pushing the ball past somebody and running around and doing a flick here and there, right? You can see when it's successful. Same with Antonio. You kick it over the top and Antonio runs as fast as he can and through somebody. I'm talking about wingers now. You can see when it's a success. Yarmolenko is not as speedy. Yarmolenko is not as, I wouldn't say, technical as Anderson. But he still provides an element of smartness to the game. Maybe we can go with that. That not everything is going to come off, but right when you think that he's not doing anything, he pops up with a goal.
Yeah.
Just like what, 2 games ago when he smashed that volley. When we were, I mean, I'll admit, even I was like, okay, I'm ready for Yarmolenko to come off. Let me see somebody else. And he bangs in a goal today. I wouldn't say I would have said take him off at half, but I didn't think he was a key player. And here he does and scores a beauty to put us up 1-0 just before half. A well-deserved goal.
Yeah, an absolutely well-deserved goal. And it just is a great time to score, because Manchester United, they got to go in the dressing room, and Ole's got to change his whole team talk at halftime. Changes everything. And to be fair, they came out at the beginning of the second half and really started to press us. But we absorbed everything they threw at us. Fabianski made a couple of decent saves. But all in all, we really didn't have a whole lot to worry about from them.
I mean, that back line had a fantastic performance.
Yeah. Yeah, Ogbonna and Diop are performing quite the rock-solid pairing. And then Fredericks was good when he was on, and then talk about a gutsy performance from Aaron Cresswell. I thought
Absolutely.
He came in and played a hell of a performance. So just all around from the back line and Fabianski, just 10 out of 10s.
I mean, then you also have Mark Noble. I can't really single anybody out with a poor performance. I can't. I mean, even Mark Noble had a fantastic performance when we were sitting there. If you look at the man of the match vote, I can pull it up in a second when we get to the end of the game talk. However, I was surprised how much more he got voted. My man of the match would have been Cresswell. He scored the goal. He came in after not playing a few games. Masuaku was definitely the starter. Now, later in the podcast, we'll talk about who we think will start. However, Cresswell's performance today was a 9 out of 10, a 10 out of 10. He made a whole bunch of tackles that were fantastic. He scored his free kick goal. I mean, it was a flawless performance. And we held Manchester United to a clean sheet, and like we just spoke about, 4 in a row now.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with any one of those picks for man of the match. My vote would have been for Yarmolenko. I thought he put in a great performance from minute one. He was cutting in. He was making passes. I really thought he deserved the goal. And then at the end of the game, he was still tracking back and sprinting. So I was just overall really, really, really pleased with Yarmolenko's performance, and he got my vote for man of the match. But Mark Noble, Declan Rice, even you could throw in any one of the guys in the lineup and pick them for man of the match, and I wouldn't argue with it.
The other person that does deserve a shout out is Allaire. I think his hold up play was essential today. He didn't score, and I don't even remember. I think maybe he had one or two shots. Nothing that was extremely memorable. But the way that he battled against those center back pairing of Manchester United, I think also deserves a shout. I think if there was a worse player on the field, it would have to be him. But he was not a bad performance at all. He didn't get too involved, but his hold up play was important. So I think Manchester United was trying to shut down the danger man of Allaire, and everybody else stepped up.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then we get later in the game, Cresswell gets one free kick earlier that he just sent over the bar, and then he gets one later in the 80-something minute and puts an absolute peach of a shot into the top right corner, and De Gea gets a fingertip to it, but it's still not enough. And I tell you what, the scenes at the London Stadium when that goal went in looked really, really good. And I think it was a video from more than just a podcast put out. I think it was from Sean's Seats, I believe. And it looked like some fantastic scenes when that goal went in. Really good atmosphere today at the London Stadium by the sounds of things.
Yeah, I mean, you even heard it on the TV in the bar, and as well the atmosphere at the bar. I mean, I jumped right out the bar stool and started jumping around hugging people. I haven't done that in a goal at Smith Field before. I mean, like I said, the bar was three deep trying to get drinks and watching the game, and it was incredible. So although the scenes at the London Stadium, what I saw on TV, were fantastic, I do want to give just another shout-out and for a fantastic experience at Smithfield Hall today.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm super jealous. I wish I was there.
Yeah, I mean, we got to do a lads weekend in New York sometime. We have all these plans because you and I want to get ourselves to London together. We want to go to – I've been trying to talk you into New Orleans. We want to get to New York.
Your boy's broke. Your boy is totally broke. That's the problem with all of these plans. I just wish I could afford to swing it.
Well, let's see. When I win the lottery, I work a second job. That's the only reason I can do it as well. Is there anything else you want to talk about the game before we get into some of our favorite tweets and stuff? Is there anything else that resonated with you before we get moving?
No, just the man of the match on FOT Mob was Felipe Anderson. He got a 7.9 out of 10, so I can't argue with that because I thought Anderson was terrific. And I want a quick honorable mention to the Andrei Yarmolenko shirt changes at halftime. I love that he wears one half long sleeves, and then he comes out for the second half with short sleeves. I think that's awesome. I don't know why he does that, but I think it's hilarious.
And also, as you talked about FOT Mob's man of the match, you said was who again?
Felipe Anderson at a 7.9, but Yarmolenko and Cresswell also got 7.9s.
Okay, so our man of the match poll that had 319 votes, that still has 12 hours left. However, anyway, Mark Noble with 44%, Yarmolenko with 27%, Cresswell with 24%, and Felipe with 5%. So Mark Noble, according to our podcast listeners or followers, was 44% man of the match.
And he only got a 6.9 on FOT Mob, so it just shows you the ratings out of 10 don't necessarily tell you everything you need to know.
Well, it's two different perspectives, and another thing is, how important is Mark Noble to the side? I feel like it's the same phrase that we repeat almost every podcast. I mean, some days, even when he has a poor performance, I think mentally you need a guy like Mark Noble in the side. Mentally, Mark Noble is your leader. He's the smartest guy on the field. Whether he passes forward or backwards or his legs are gone or whatever, he is the heart and brains of that team. And I have a tough time criticizing that man. Even when he does put in a poor performance, I just have a tough time doing it because beyond what he does on the field with his feet, we don't see everything that he does with his mind. I know I'm going on and on about it, but I think he's just an incredible player. And today, the fans really rewarded him with that and the recognition and saw how important he was to that side in that 2-0 win against Manchester United.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. So I think that wraps up the game, right? Do you have anything to add?
So the last portion of the West Ham-Manchester United game I wanted to talk about today was our good friend Dan Roberts put together a Danalytics piece. When we had our website back with the American West Ham podcast, he wrote a really cool article with the Norwich game. So what he did was he prepared a little something-something for us for the podcast, and then when all the dust settles and we see what we're doing with articles on maybe a news site, he will rejoin that portion. In the meantime, thank you, Dan Roberts, again from the New York City Hammers.
Thanks, Dan.
So the first thing he put together was average position on the pitch. One of the interesting things that he said that we should take a look at, and I just was astonished, that our overlap play from Fredericks and Cresswell was massive. Both of them were in the attacking half when it came along on their average position for the game. Did you notice that much interaction with them that far up the field?
Yeah, that's what they like to do a lot. So they exchange with each other on those overlapping runs. And sometimes they're used as a decoy. Sometimes they actually use them to make the pass and get the outlet off. So, yeah, I did notice that. And I think that's it's good looking out. And I think it's very, very interesting the way they do that. And we use our – they're almost not like they're not – fullbacks as such. They're more wingbacks, so and they both attack, so that's what you like to see.
Absolutely, very interactive. And then the other thing to notice as well, that how many times did Yarmolenko track back and make a massive tackle? Or same with Anderson lately, he's been tracking back well too.
Yeah, no, it's good to see your wingbacks, or your wingers, excuse me, pitch back and help out on the defense. And, you know, I think, you know, was it Masuaku that said that he's been getting more help from Anderson lately, which he really needed, and that's helped him make him a better player. So you can tell it's making a difference.
Absolutely. Even
within the players.
Well, right, and that was one of my biggest complaints after the Brighton game. Remember, I was complaining when Lanzini was on the outside that nobody was helping Masuaku on that left-back side.
Yeah, right.
That was one of the biggest complaints. The next fact that we have on here is our attacking play percentage. 43% down the left side, 42% down the right side, which it really didn't feel like that much for me on that right side, and 15% in the middle. So
it did for me. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, of course. Like
it was so much more even this week than it was last week. I would like to see that stat from last week. I would venture to say that it was 75% to 80% down the left-hand side, and then like 10% and 10% through the right in the middle. Like everything last week against Villa was all down the left-hand side, and I think I mentioned that on the podcast. So I'd be interested to see last week's, but this week was much more even.
I think it goes back to what I said just a bit earlier in the podcast about Yarmolenko's play is not as flashy or prominent as Anderson. So to me, maybe that's why I didn't notice it. Like I said, I noticed more when Antonio pushes the ball forward, or Anderson has the ball, or Cresswell's kicking it over. I didn't notice as much Fredericks and Yarmolenko being involved. However, here we go, 43-42. So they were equally involved. One of the last portions of this that I thought was really interesting that he put together was Yarmolenko and Cresswell's both expected goal. So I do analytics for a living, but not sports analytics. So expected goal is a little bit outside of my normal range. However, Yarmolenko's expected goal was 0.10, and Cresswell's expected goal was 0.05. So that pretty much says that it was a 10% and 5% likelihood of scoring a goal, respectively. And, I mean, we can tell. Those were both incredible goals.
Yeah, they were. The Yarmolenko goal especially, I thought, without Noble's smart play and without Felipe Anderson's creativity, that goal doesn't happen. And then Yarmolenko still had a lot to do with the finish. I mean, to be able to bend it around David De Gea and score there was pretty spectacular. And then obviously Cresswell's free kick was just a thing of beauty. You probably go on the training ground and you only score that a handful of times, and that's one of the handful of times. So especially when you have De Gea in goal, a guy that's usually stopping those free kicks too. So, that expected goal number was very interesting to me.
I'm going to ask Dan to look next week if he can do this again for us. I'm going to ask him to look at to see if they show forward and backward passes. But Declan Rice today also had 34 accurate passes, which was 97% of his passes. So I thought that was interesting as well. that I'd like to see how many side to side, front and back, what they are. However, 90% accuracy is very clinical and important.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I'm not big into the statistics stuff. Like, math hurts my brain, and like statistics in like high school and college just like completely numbed my brain. So I'm not great with this stuff, but it's really interesting to see when people put all of this thought into it and create all of these numbers. It really is interesting to see.
I'm not one to, for business, it makes sense. For sports, I really have a tough time doing it. But it's crazy what people do with analytics when it comes to sports like baseball and American football, like running plays and stuff against defenses and defenses against offenses and the next-gen stats in basketball and hockey as well. So, I mean, it's nice to see that Dan was cool enough to put that together for us in soccer. I'm sure we say this almost every week, but this is definitely one of our favorite portions of the podcast when we get to talk about what you, our listeners, want to talk about on Twitter. So typically we usually put out a tweet talking about, give us your questions, comments, or concerns for our podcast tonight. Our best sessions are when there's a game on Saturday morning and we put out a tweet on Sunday to podcast Sunday evening. Whenever there's a game on Sunday or Monday, it always seems like the interaction is a little bit limited because there's so much content on Twitter that our tweet may get lost. So tonight we only have about 3 or 4 questions, so it's going to be a quick one, but we'll try to maybe go a little more in-depth conversation than what we normally do. So Brawley, you got it up there. I'll read out the first one.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so first one is from Jay Carson. That's Jeremiah from the Greek Street Hammers. So shout out to you guys. Thanks again for always being one of the people who ask us a question. He says, "You all know that I'm very passionate about Masuaku. However, I feel like Crest looked like the Crest of old, and I'm torn. Who starts going forward, or is it a week-by-week case?" So I'll let you start. Let's start with who's – is it a week-by-week, or do you think that we're going to have a clear starter in the next few weeks?
Well, I'm just going week by week, and I think the next Premier League game will be Bournemouth next weekend, so I don't think you can drop Cresswell based off of that performance. So he's going to start for me, but if he slips up, then Masuaku comes straight back in. But for now, I'm going with Cresswell in the next league game anyways.
On Wednesday evening against Oxford, are you going Johnson at left back, or are you going Masuaku at left back then, assuming that Cresswell starts in the Premier League?
I'm going Masuaku, just because he needs to get the minutes again. You could see Ben Johnson again because it's Oxford, but I'm going with Masuaku.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm definitely with Cresswell for the Premier League match and Masuaku for the Oxford match. I really don't think that you can drop Cresswell after a performance like that. Even if I've been banging on how I thought Masuaku has had a great start to the season, you cannot bench Aaron Cresswell after that match.
All right, the next question we have here is from Ian Tricieri. Sorry if I mispronounce your last name. At ITRICERRI. His question is, or he says, "Hi guys, it's been a great day today, therefore, on the back of the last few performances and results, do you think the squad is capable of achieving something great this season, a cup win and or a European spot?" And then 3 crossed irons. So is this squad capable of achieving something great this season, Tony?
Yes, this team, I think, is capable of achieving something great this season. I assume it's going to be one or the other and not both. If I had to choose one, I would choose the cup. But I don't think that we would actually – I still don't see us winning a cup. I really don't. So I think that our best chance is to move forward in the Premier League the way that we've been playing right now. I'm very nervous in like one-off games. Obviously, that's what the cup is. I think that the longevity, if this team can stay healthy and they continue to get results like they are against really poor teams, I think that – and play solid against good teams – I think that we can finish 6th or 5th, and that's really completely different than what I was saying earlier in the season when we did our previews. So I think this team has a lot of potential, and they need to continue. We're on a high right now, like we keep saying, 4 clean sheets in a row. They need to continue to play very good defense and create chances.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the I agree with you on the cups. I think I would rather win a cup than get a European spot.
Yes.
Maybe if it's I know this is out there, but if somehow, some way we finished in fourth, would you take the Champions League or an FA Cup final? You're probably taking the FA Cup final, but to see West Ham in the Champions League would be spectacular.
Nope. If it was FA Cup final or Champions League, I would take Champions League for the longevity of the club. I feel like the Champions League money you could invest in squad depth and hopefully get a cup in a few years' time. But that Champions League money is something else. That Europa League money isn't anything. That's peas in the pot. But I think the Champions League money over, even if you got to the FA Cup final, and let's say you won and you got into Europa League, great, congrats, good job. And a cup would be absolutely crazy. Like, I would rather win a cup and lift a trophy, but that Champions League money and money talks. And that would just be amazing longevity for staying in that top tier.
We disagree. We disagree, yeah. So that's good.
Finally.
The next question we have here is from Dave LaPointe at Dave_LaPointe. And he asks, how much of an idiot am I for slagging off Cresswell? I look and feel dumb. Anyways, your thoughts on Fornals? I liked his pace and a bit of trickery. Safe to say he'll be in Manu's spot for the next few weeks. So what do you think about that?
Well, it's obviously going to be safe to say he's in Manu's spot, as Manu will be out for 3 to 4 weeks. I thought he played well, and I think he's been playing well. One of the things he's going to learn that this isn't the Spanish league. I think a part of the problem that he has is the Anderson issue when Anderson first came to West Ham, that he got bullied around and didn't get calls that went his way because it's just not what he's used to, or the style of play was much more physical. I mean, I think about when Anderson got bullied the first 2 or 3 weeks, went on international break and came back thick like a stud. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I see Fornals hopefully in a few weeks, hopefully bulks up a little bit and can understand the physicality of the English game.
And I thought Fornals was timid this week. I think I want to see him like want to take on players more. I want to see him like want to win a one-on-one battle rather than maybe give it to someone and let them do the hard work. I agree that he's young and he's got a lot of time to build, and I'm not writing him off. And I actually think he played pretty good today, honestly. But I just want to see from a creative midfielder, someone that wants to create, wants to make that magic with the ball at his feet, you know, someone that gets the fans on the edge of their seat every time he starts to glide forward, a lot like Felipe Anderson. So I think he plays well, but I think he's got a lot of improvement to do, and he's still really raw.
I agree. And to branch off that conversation about Felipe Anderson's transition, Dan Roberts, who was awesome and did Danalytics earlier in the podcast, also replied to the tweet and said, do you feel that the fans understand what it takes to international talent a few months to become accustomed to the speed and physicality of the Premier League? I remember many last year frustrated with Anderson, and I see it happening with Fornals again. So do you think other people will eventually, I'm going to say, understand? I couldn't think of a better word. Do you think people will understand that it takes Fornals a little bit, or do you see people just hopping on his back early, or both?
Yeah, I think people are understanding of it, but as you know, football fans are fickle and they want instant gratification. So I will give him time, and I know I will be very understanding of him. I'm not sure the rest of the West Ham world will see it that way, but you can't be upset with that performance today. I thought he played just fine.
Well, the team played very well, so his fine performance may have not looked great because everybody else was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I agree with that. So it'll be the defeat to, I don't know, Sheffield United, the inevitable defeat to Sheffield United, where someone will, or I'm sure many fans will jump on people like Yarmolenko and Fornals back. I'm sure that'll happen.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you're up here, Papa Darbin.
Okay. All right. You want me to read it?
Yeah, please.
Okay. His question is at Rustar40. When do you think we will actually beat a top six side? Today we played Manchester United, LOL. So a little sly dig at Manchester United for my dad.
Yeah, and I hope the first win against the top six is going to be next week, because Bournemouth is sitting 6 on 10 points.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
I really hope that we can go down to the Southern Coast and knock out 3 points from there. I just remember some games recently, your 3-3, the Bobby Madley game.
Yeah.
And also, folks, you can go back and listen to that interview with Bobby Madley, former Premier League referee. How about the Dimi and Valencia free kick games?
Yeah. We won that game, yeah.
Yeah, but I think when I was there my first year in England, which would have been the spring of 2017, I think we lost 1-0 or 2. I mean, I know we lost that game. So
yeah, Bournemouth is never an easy place to go.
No, we have not been very successful. So let's just turn this into a Bournemouth preview question. Do you expect us to get 3 points on Saturday?
Yeah, I do. I think we should. Bournemouth are a team we should be beating. Again, I don't think it'll be a walk in the park. I think Bournemouth are good for a lot of goals. They play some really lovely stuff. Eddie Howe always has his team ready to play against us. But I do expect us to win. So if we want to be this big team, we got to beat the little fish. And no offense to Bournemouth, but they are a little fish in a big pond, and we, on paper, blow their squad out of the absolute water.
Absolutely. And for the record, the next game against another top six side... Well, I guess you know what? I shouldn't even say that, because Spurs aren't in the top six. Our next game against a top six side is Arsenal, Saturday, December 7th, is our next game against a top six side, which is Arsenal. We do play Chelsea and Spurs, so Spurs is on the 23rd of November, and Chelsea's on the 30th of November. However, again, top six side would be Arsenal December 7th. So could be a long time till we get to there. However, we are only six games in. The next question is, I said however again. Folks, Brawley, every time that we've taken a break, has yelled at me for saying however 60 times in this podcast.
I have not yelled at you, to be fair on me. I am relaying just some information. I know I say all the time. And so it's not just you who I'm not trying to bash on you. I'm just giving you some feedback. Back me up. If you hear Tony say the word however, and you've noticed it in the past, please let us know by tweeting us at what's the new Twitter handle? It is
West Ham Way US Pod. West Ham Way US Pod. So if I say however too many times, which is my filler word, rather than I avoid trying to say remember, folks, we're not professional podcasters, but we try to do our best. However, we do sound much more professional with these better mics.
You did say however just that
did
again.
Did I? Again? Okay.
Just literally again.
Well, this is terrible podcasting. We're going to read the next question.
I think people think it's funny. Okay, the next question. Go ahead.
Well, I hate you. Okay. Green Street Hammer says, do you think Yarmolenko has cemented his place in – or is it Antonio when he returns? Love the show. So thanks, Green Street Hammers. Are you going Yarmolenko or Antonio when he returns?
I'm not a fan of these questions. No offense to the Green Street Hammers, because I like them a lot, but no one ever walks straight back into the team from injury. Like, literally, it just doesn't happen. So, like, if you're giving me a perfect world situation where Antonio is 100% and Yarmolenko is 100% when they both come back, and who am I picking between? I'm going with Yarmolenko because he scored 2 goals in 2 games. I don't think Antonio walks straight back in. So I guess my answer is Yarmolenko.
Also, Joe Cromwell is Captain Cromwell on Twitter. He says, he was the man of the match for me, high work rate, both sides of the halfway line. So that was referring to Yarmolenko. If it was up to me, 100%, 100%, I'm going to stick with Yarmolenko. I really like what Antonio brings to the side with his pace and physicality to a tired defense.
Yeah, I agree with that. The last question here is from Ed Hughes, at Ed Hughes 123. Bournemouth away is a tough place to go, considering how they are playing. Like we were just saying, who do you play at left back, Cress or Arthur? Never change a winning side. And we kind of already answered this. We both said Cresswell, but I appreciate the question, Ed. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Tony.
No, I don't have nothing to add, but I just want to add. But I just want to say thanks to Ed for his question, and yep. WHU Noah for also responding to our podcast, saying, personally, I think we can be confident with both. Which, who would have thought? Let's talk about that for a second. Who would have thought at the end of last year that we would have been confident with either Masuaku or Cresswell going into a left back situation. We thought that we were replacing both.
Yeah, I'd written off Cresswell already. So, and who knows? I mean, it could have been just one good game too. I don't want to be like negative or anything. He had a decent game today. I'm still not exactly fully confident in him, but I think it'd be harsh to drop him, basically, is what I'm saying.
Listen, if he keeps playing like that, I'm ready to ride on the Cresswell train.
Agreed.
To stick with that. However, you know, oh, there it was. However, anyway, point of the story, long story short, doesn't matter what transition word. We have one last thing I want to talk about on Twitter, which is the Met Police West Ham United FC account. One thing I thought was interesting, they tweeted out the stats from the game, and they said there was 5 away supporters arrested for possession of drugs, which I was like, damn, okay. And 20 Manchester United supporters were ejected from the home end, and 10 more were refused entry at the turnstiles for trying to get into the home end. Good. So, the point of bringing that up was because I saw a tweet from the Welsh Hazard, really pleased about the action being taken regarding away supporters trying to get into the home end. Good work. Thumbs up. We have seen this as a problem at the London Stadium recently over the last, 4 seasons now?
Yeah.
This is the 4th season? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That you can just go on the trader, create a random account, and go buy a ticket. And not to give a bad name to Americans, because that's part of that's us. However, the part of their issue is it's a random strangers. Like, you'll have Spurs fans. That was one of them. There were Spurs fans that were American buying tickets in the home end.
Yeah,
I just couldn't even comprehend why you would even want to do that.
Well, for a lot of Americans just don't do their research basically when they come over, and they don't realize that it's a problem to put on your Spurs shirt and then go sit in the West Ham end. So it's a culture difference. We've talked about it at length in previous podcasts, but it shouldn't happen. You shouldn't have people wearing the other team's colors in the home ends of the ground. So props to the police for cracking down on it. And I know it makes the stadium a safer place, honestly, when you don't have that. And it really is a safety issue, because people get very angry, and that's how shit gets started, is when you see people with the opposing colors in the home end.
Especially if we're losing. But we were winning, and that wasn't as bad. Let's finish off with the conversation with Oxford on Wednesday and Bournemouth on the weekend. So we kind of already talked about Bournemouth. I want to know what your thoughts on Oxford. Do you see squad rotation, or do you see a similar first team?
Yeah, squad rotation. If you're on the bench against Man United, you come into the team, and then you keep a few guys. Maybe Issa Diop stays in, and Fornals probably stays in to get him some more minutes, and Wilshere came off the bench, so I assume Wilshere will start. So I'm going to bring in a bunch of the bench players and keep some of the starting 11, and I'll be happy with that.
Great. Sounds good. I think we are going to have squad rotation as well, and I expect a win against Oxford, and I expect a win against Bournemouth. I want us to be that top side. I'm okay if we're a mid-table team. I'm perfectly happy. That's the West Ham that I signed up for. But I think that all this rhetoric and the investment and the players we have, we really should be pushing forward. Do you have anything else to say? Go ahead.
Score prediction for Oxford.
3-0.
3-0. I'm going to go 5-0. Let's do it. I'm the optimistic person this episode. I'll go 5.
Oh God, 5. I don't know about 5. I mean, we barely got past Wimbledon. However, we did, and we beat Newport 2-0.
And we beat Macclesfield at home by 8. So okay. I mean, I don't know.
True.
It's not
true.
It's not out of the realm of possibility. Bournemouth. What's your score prediction for Bournemouth?
2-1. I'll go 2-1. I think we go down early, but we come back and make adjustments and go 2-1 up at the end and take another 3 points and push on.
I'm going to go for a 3-2 West Ham win, a very dramatic 3-2 win, and that should have been the score of the Bobby Madley game. So, Bobby, if you're listening, thanks for ruining that day for me. I'm just kidding.
Wow. But he's not. He's not kidding.
The last thing I want to mention real quickly, I don't think I've mentioned yet, is we have created the West Ham Way USA podcast page on Facebook. So please, if you are on Facebook, please go find us and like the page. I haven't done any posting yet.
And share,
comment, do all that good stuff because we're trying to grow a Facebook page. So please, 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 if you're on Facebook, go like us on Facebook and spread the word because I'm trying to build a good Facebook page. So thank you if you do that.
All right. Thanks for that corny closing. We also have our Twitter account has changed the handle. Same account. That is West Ham Way US Pod. Not USA. It's West Ham Way US Pod. We have a brand new logo again, as we talked about in the middle, at the beginning of the podcast, from Brawley's friend. If you want to get connected, if you accidentally skip through that part, he will hook you up with an amazing logo. And we don't have a new email yet, so we will be working on that transition still. We do not have a new website yet, so we will be working on that transition as well. But this ends our first episode, and I had an absolute blast, and I think it went extremely well. So thanks again, folks. Brawley, anything else to sign the listeners out?
Nope. See you guys. We'll hopefully come back with you after two wins next week.
Absolutely. Come on, you Irons.
See ya.